The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert. Tonight we have a special edition of PID Radio. Sharon is off on assignment, which is a clever way of saying that this recording is taking place a little later in the evening than she's accustomed to. So, but she is off doing what she needs to do to keep her health well. We've got a couple of guests with us tonight who are taking some steps to use technology in a novel way to bring the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord, to a wider audience. And they've been doing this now for a couple of years in a variety of ways, and we're excited about what they're doing and to be a part of what they're doing. Together, they've been the hosts since 2013 of the video series Quest for Truth, a couple dozen episodes online now on at questfortruth.net. We will introduce them individually, so we give them proper attention for all of their accomplishments. First, a teacher and scholar with a master's degree in Hebrew Bible and its world, formerly assistant pastor for half a dozen years at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and the author of a number of books, including Corrupting the Image, and most recently, The Millennium Chronicles, Road to the Final Rebellion. His website is douglashamp.com, and of course, I'm talking about Doug Hamp. Doug, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, that's a great introduction. I appreciate that.
It's well, really, you know, a dozen years in broadcasting, if I haven't learned something, then my time was totally wasted. Our other guest tonight is a man who is a multimedia threat, writer, producer, filmmaker, and a dynamic speaker in person, the creator of a series entitled Seed, envisioned as a science fiction live action series, but now also being developed as a graphic novel, a video game, an audio drama, and as full-length novels. He's a writer, author of the Babylon Rising series of books analyzing the prophetic implications of the Genetic Six paradigm and a series of DVDs related to those topics. He's got a number of websites, almost as many as Sharon and me, kingsgatemedia.com, seedtheseries.com, babylonrisingblog.com, and if I've forgotten any, Rob Skiba, please feel free to chime in with any other web addresses.
Hey, Derek, great to be here. Yeah, that about covers it. I've actually got over 100 domains, but we won't go there.
Okay, well, we've got a ways to go to catch up then. Oh, wow. So you guys, again, as Quest for Truth, have been getting together through the internet and discussing topics related to Scripture and kind of living out the scriptural passage about iron sharpening iron, not necessarily agreeing on everything, and as we discussed in a previous program, but doing it in a way that is edifying. In other words, iron sharpening iron instead of iron running through anyone who doesn't agree with you, which we Christians are all too often guilty of doing. There's been a trend in the last couple of years, I think, for the I don't know if you want to call it alternative Christian paradigm or group that we've sort of found ourselves gravitating toward just because of a different way of, well, just because we sort of take Genesis 6 for saying what it, you know, meaning what it actually says. Mm-hmm. And there have been a number of prophecy conferences that have been produced over the last 4 or 5 years. But typically they involve having to set aside a weekend, make travel arrangements, make accommodation arrangements, budget money for gas, for food, for airfare, and then time off of work and so forth. And sometimes that's a bit of a burden, but you guys are approaching this in a different way. I'll throw this out. Whoever wants to take the lead here to describe what is coming up the first weekend in November, the Quest for Truth conference.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll jump in. You know, the Quest for Truth virtual conference is an opportunity for people that cannot make it to a live conference. And don't get us wrong, we love live conferences. They are a lot of fun. Yeah. But they can also be very expensive. Even as a speaker, sometimes you get, you sell some books and you get a really nice honorarium. Sometimes you don't, it's kind of a luck of the draw. And at least for me, I never make the money. The first thing people say, well, what do you demand? I'm like, well, I don't really demand anything. I love to share, and it's great. I mean, sometimes it's a really nice bonus and sometimes it's not. And so we wanted to do something that's not only good for us, but we believe it's going to be good for the people that attend, because we believe a lot of people do not attend the average conference because they just don't have the money to get there. They would like to come, but the money isn't there. And so the next best option is to watch it live stream, which, is pretty cool. But, if you're live stream, you don't really feel like you're a part of what's happening there. It's kind of you're watching what somebody else is doing. And we wanted to kind of take it out of that arena and make it all about the people that are watching online. So this is a conference that's designed for them. And we're going to have a time where after each talk, people will be able to text in their questions. They can interact with the speaker right there in the chat room. Of course, the person will be giving answers, audibly and through video as well, of course, after each talk. We'll have a little time of kind of a mini interview after each talk. And we're going to have also polls, as we can, just kind of question what people are thinking about different things, so that people come away with this just really understanding a lot better. Those are sort of the mechanics of it, but we've called it Quest for Truth, just like our show. This is the Quest for Truth conference, because we believe that being on the quest is so important. And we're always growing. We never have all the answers. And it doesn't matter how seasoned in the Bible you are. The minute you say that I have all the answers, you need to repent and seek humility, okay?
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
That what happens is when you start saying, oh, I have all the answers, okay? I mean, you don't. I mean, it's one thing to be confident in your understanding of the Bible. That's fine. But we always need to be open to for the Lord to teach us more, because there's always more to learn. Moses had to learn more. David had to learn more. The apostles had to learn more. I mean, we never get to the end of our understanding of who God is. And unfortunately, sometimes when we have differences of theological opinions, we start to throw out what I call the H-bomb. It's start leaving somebody a heretic. Hey, let's be honest. Everybody's a heretic, okay? Me included. Because I do not fully and completely understand who God is. And if I don't, then my theology is warped in some way, all right? So it's one thing to be ignorant, to not know where you're wrong. But if you know you're wrong, then obviously you should repent of that. And, so far as I know, I'm not wrong about anything. But the moment I discover, I'm willing to repent of that position and to do what I discover to be the more biblical and good sound doctrine position. So what we want to do is create a scenario, a forum where people can come together. In this case, it's a virtual forum, but people can come together. We've selected people, and we know that there's differences of opinion. We're not trying to get just the cookie cutter kind of talk. In fact, we're even going to have a non-believer. We have one out of eight, okay? So we're going to have one non-believer who's very versed in Illuminati, New World Order kind of stuff. So he's going to give us his perspective from a non-biblical perspective. And, so we believe that that's healthy. Obviously, we believe in the Bible. I mean, the Bible is our strong foundation. We'll never go away from that. But, we want to create a place where we can have some discussion about these things and that we can help people who maybe have spent less time studying the Word, or they're new to the Bible, or for whatever reason, we're just going to be your mentor for the weekend and say, look, this is what I've discovered. Look at this verse, and this verse, and look at, these secular facts, whatever they may be, and, put them together. What do you come up with? So in a nutshell, that's what we're attempting to do.
Yeah, Chuck Missler puts it really well. The only obstacle to truth is the unshakable belief that you already have it.
Well said.
Yeah, Derek, I think it's appropriate for us to thank you because Quest for Truth probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you, sort of putting us on the spot in Branson, Missouri, with the roundtable discussion.
That's right.
It was Ellie Marzulli, Doug, and I, and you were facilitating a Q&A with the audience for 2 hours, and LA could only stay for half of it. And so as he was leaving and we were going to a break, you said, you know, we all know the Nephilim were destroyed in the flood, but how did they come back after the flood? That'll be the subject for the next hour. And LA was like halfway off the stage going, oh man.
He
totally wanted to stay. And, you know, Doug and I went at it. We debated the subject and we have different views on that. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I think you guys enjoyed it. The audience loved it.
Yes, they did.
And then, you know, Doug called me about 3 weeks later and said, you know, Rob, I really enjoyed debating with you and Branson. And what do you think about starting a show based on the fact that we do agree on the core essentials. There's only one way to the Father through Jesus Christ. It is a free gift of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the core. I mean, we get that. But these other things, you know, let's talk about it. Let's debate it. And that's really how Quest for Truth was born, was you created a safe environment for us to have the discussion in Branson. And we really created Quest for Truth as a safe place. That's what we've always wanted it to be, a safe place to be iron, sharpening iron, to discuss the scriptures and, you know, share our points of view. We're passionate about them. I believe I'm right. Doug believes he's right. You know, okay, let's talk about it and let the audience decide. And, you know, this is sort of the natural extension of that, doing a conference. And Sheila and I went to a conference down in Austin not too long ago. And for us, that's about a 4-hour drive. Well, you know, gasoline's over $3 a gallon these days. So right. You're spending about $60 just on gas. Then you're there for 3 days, so you got 2 nights of hotel. Now you just spent $150, you know.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you got a good deal. and then you got to eat, you know, 3 meals a day, 2 people, plus, you know, bottled water and snacks and whatever. You're spending about $350 just to go there. Never mind if you have to pay for admission. This particular one, we didn't, but a lot of times, you know, conferences, you have to pay a little bit of money to get in, and then you want to buy books and DVDs while you're there,
right?
You know, so and that's just, you know, as an attendee. You know, of course, I'm a speaker. I go to a lot of conferences, but even as a speaker, like Doug said, you know, it's sometimes it's a toss up. You know, whether you actually make any money or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
there's a lot of work involved that people don't understand. It's more than just getting up and speaking in the front. Sharon and I have not opted to take advantage of book tables at conferences that we've spoken at to this point. We probably will in 2015.
Yeah.
But we see how much work, you know, folks like you guys and other speakers like L.A. Russ Dizdar, Bill Salas, you know, and so forth. They're lugging box after box after box after box that you have to transport in some way. There's a lot of work. And then you got to have somebody staffing the table.
Right.
So either you're at the table the entire time, which makes it difficult to get around and see some of the other presentations that are taking place. There are some disadvantages to being a presenter in terms of your ability to get around and fellowship and enjoy some of the other presentations that speakers are giving.
Oh, for sure. And it's costly. I mean, if you don't live in the area, you've got to ship your product out there. I know, Doug, you've had some misfortunes in product not arriving on time. So that means, wow, you just didn't sell any books or DVDs there. And, you know, an honorarium. I don't ever go to a conference expecting one. I'm pleasantly surprised when I do. but, you know, I tell people, look, I'll go anywhere somebody's willing to listen. All you need to do is get me there, you know, and put a roof over my head while I am there. But, you know, we all have to make a living. So, I mean, you're either selling DVDs or books or what have you, or hopefully maybe getting an honorarium. But sometimes it doesn't always work out, and it actually – you end up in the negative.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and so we're excited about this one because, you know, this is going to eliminate that cost, you know. So people can just show up on their computer. And the cool thing is, you know, when you think about when you go to a live conference, basically one registration is good for one entry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you take your wife or whoever, your husband, then you have to buy two tickets. Okay. And with the Quest for Truth virtual conference, for everybody who registers, they can invite as many people as they want over to their house. They can, you know, put some chicken or burgers on the barbecue, get some popcorn going. And, you know, you can make this a weekend experience where, you know, you can sort of be the armchair theologian and say, oh, no, that's crazy. Or, oh, yeah, I love it. You know, and you guys can have some hopefully friendly debates in your house. But you can invite as many people over as you want, kind of like the drive-in movie theater. Mm-hmm. So we think this is going to be something that's really going to get people excited. You know, plus we're able – because of just the format, we're able to give people over $100 worth of materials just for registering. So we're very excited about that. We think people are gonna be very excited about that as well, because you know these are the resources that we've all been working on, and now we're able to deliver those in a digital format. And so that people can really enjoy those. And those are, you know, there's the keep. I mean, it's just enjoy them. You know, that is for people that registered before October 24th.
Right.
But, you know, we wanted to be able to give to people before they even show up. They're already getting something. And they can go back and watch the replay as many times as they want for as long as they want. You know, as long as we're around and the internet's around, we think, you know, we'll be able to deliver this content. I mean, you know, barring the second coming of Jesus or something, you know, then people can go back and watch the replay. So, you know, at a conference, you'll spend about $60 or so for the DVD set. This eliminates that cost. So, again, it's just another way to save the cost for the people. And yet, what we did not want to do is to reduce the interactivity, you know. So we still want this to be very interactive, and that's why we're going to do just a lot of different things, like we said, like polls and involve time of Q&A and such. In fact, you know, we're still some of this, you know, we can still it's still on the design table, you know, we can change it around just a little bit, but we want to make it as interactive as possible for people so that they're really excited. They get to know us. We get to know them as much as possible and to share the things that we've discovered.
I love about going to conferences is the interaction. I love the interaction both with speakers because we can come, you know, sometimes we get to get together at our tables or whatever and compare notes, but I love talking with the audience. And that's one of the big things when we were trying to put together a virtual conference was figuring out a way to make it interactive so it's not just watching a live stream. So that's one of the things we're real excited about regarding this conference.
You know, I laughed a little bit when you were talking about you know, interactivity and polls and stuff because I had in my mind the sort of CNN election year debate poll where they have the little green line that goes up and it's like audience likes this. Oh, it's the audience is dropping on this one. This one's not, this point's not doing so well. Which, you know, maybe for some future conference, you know, might be a little tough for a speaker watching his poll ratings dropping while he's giving his presentation.
The Quest for Truth gong show.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Well, so now how is this going to work? I mean, I'm familiar with some of the technologies that are out there, and through my day job, I sometimes have to, you know, log into virtual meetings through the technologies business people often use, you know, the go to meeting or whatever. How is this going to be different? How will people be able to interact?
Well, yeah, it's different than go to meeting because first of all, there's no limit to how many seats we can have. So, you know, if people, they don't have to worry about, oh my goodness, it's filling up, I'll never get there. You know, You can sign up until the very day of the conference. You know, the $100 resource package is available till the 24th, but they can sign up until the day of the conference. And a lot of times, you don't get to go back and watch the replay, so it's different in that sense. We can have a couple different people on at the same time, up to 10 people on at the same time, speakers, that is. you know, so it does have some other qualities that a different format would not have. And we think that people are going to really appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the limitations with GoToMeeting that we found is you're limited to 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know how many people are going to show up for this conference, but we wanted it to be open to as many people as possible because, you know, I've been to some of these big conferences where there's 1,000 or 2,000 people, but, you know, you're limited by the capacity of the hotel or wherever you're having it. And even some of the conferences I've been to, there's only like 30 or 40 people show up. And you're like, man, are you kidding? I mean, you got like Chuck Missler, Tom Horn, you got some big names here. Mm-hmm. And like, there's 30 people here. You're like, really? and then we got people, you know, from other countries saying, man, I wish I was in the States. When are you ever coming to Australia? Sure. Or when are you coming to wherever? So we thought, you know, the internet provides us the ability to offer a venue that anybody who has an internet connection can attend. With no limit. So, you know, the more the merrier.
And even, you know, if for example, you get a virtual packed house or, you know, capacity house, the real benefit from where I sit is that there won't be any, you know, lines for the bathroom, which is really one of the real drawbacks of
right.
busy
yeah.
conferences.
Yeah. You know, and that's a great point you bring up because we're able to really pack in the speakers. We're going to take all of, you know, basically 2-minute breaks just for a couple of technical things behind the scenes. But we decided not to put like lengthy breaks in there mm-hmm. because we thought, well, you know, people, you know,
they're at home.
Well, you're at home. I mean, just turn up your volume and, you know, go use the bathroom if you need to.
Take your iPhone in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Take your laptop, put it in the kitchen and make your dinner, you know. So this way, you know, it's going to be a huge savings of time. I mean, as you said, I mean, there's the weekend, plus you have to get there, right? So for a lot of people, you got to fly in and, you know, you're looking at really 3 or 4 or 5 days to make all this happen. That's kind of your vacation, right? So right. It's like, what do you do for vacation this year, sweetheart? Well, let's go to the conference. You know, it's like, well, okay. But so this is not going to eat up people's vacation time. I mean, it does take a weekend. But even if people cannot watch the whole thing in one, you know, sitting, they can get the instant replay. Mm-hmm. All of these talks will be available 1 hour after they're done. So, you know, if you'd say, well, we can't make it, say, Sunday morning, well, okay, no problem. I mean, you know, this is being recorded. You can catch those segments of it later with that registration. You can catch that later at any time you want. So it's really going to give people a lot of flexibility and freedom that you don't normally have.
Let's talk about some of the logistics then. The date of the Quest for Truth virtual conference is November 15th and 16th. What times?
November 8th
and 9th. Yeah, see, I'm getting confused because actually Sharon and I are participating in another virtual conference the following weekend.
Oh, fantastic.
Actually, only our part is virtual. It's because we had some scheduling issues as far as being able to travel to upstate New York, but the other speakers involved will actually be on site. We're Skyping in, so... but anyway, okay, so cool. November 8th and 9th of 2014, and give us the times and where do people sign up and cost and so forth.
Well, they can go to the Q4TConference.com. That's the Q4TConference.com.
Number four.
Number four, the Q4, number 4TConference.com. And we're going to open up the window, if you will, the ticket window, Monday. So people can get that on Monday. And so they can go there. They'll have all the information that they need to look at it. It's going to happen, like we said, that weekend. So it starts Saturday night, and then it goes through Sunday until late in the evening. We decided, you know, let's do on a Saturday and a Sunday. It's a little bit different, but we thought, hey, why not? I mean, you know, we don't have to take advantage of the Friday. People can still do whatever they normally do on Friday and all day Saturday, and then come Saturday evening, you know, they can log in and watch this conference, and then Sunday. And if people can't make it, say they have church in the morning, again, they can get those parts of it later as they come back. So,
yeah, we're starting on Eastern Standard Time because we're thinking, you know, I'm here in Central Standard Time. Doug's out in Pacific. And I was out actually in LA a couple of weeks ago, and we sat in a Starbucks and tried to figure out the schedule. But we figured, you know what, we'll start it with Eastern Standard Time at 7 p.m. And we'll go till midnight, because some of us, like myself, are late nighters. So I'll take the late night slot, you know, Friday night, no big deal. You know, but as you know, the whole country has different time zones. So I think we've come up with a time schedule that will work for everybody, including the morning people.
And we've got a reference
Sunday,
and we'll have to reference this relative to Greenwich Mean Time as well for people who are overseas. So seven p.m. 7 p.m. to midnight. That'd be GMT minus five. We're back on standard.
Yes,
we're back on standard time after the first Sunday in November. Correct.
I think so. I always forget how that works.
Well, we changed it here in the U.S. a couple of years ago. So it used to be in October, and now it's in November. So anyway, that'll have to be posted. That's something I've had to learn too with the internet. And I was, you know, preaching this when I was back in secular radio back in 2006, 2007. It's like, guys, we're streaming live to the internet right now. We can't have audio commercials on our radio station that don't give an area code, because there are people. We had people who were listening, you know, from National Guard units in Missouri that were stationed in places like Alaska and listening to the, you know, and listening. Now, they probably knew their home area code, but point being, if you're streaming live to the world, we have to remember now, we have to give everybody a point of reference. 7 p.m. doesn't mean 7 p.m. where you are necessarily.
Yeah, right.
So
it could be if you want to start watching it then, but
exactly.
We're going to start
watching it live. Yes. And then on Sunday, it's going to run all day.
Yeah. We're going to start, I think we said 11. I'm just trying to think.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Sorry. Yes. 10 a.m. Eastern. That'll get me out of bed, so I'll be starting at 7. That'll be awesome. Sorry, I'm up anyway. But so it'll be 10 a.m. Eastern. And boy, we're excited about the lineup of speakers. I mean, we're, you know, delighted to have you with us, Derek. That'll be awesome. But we also have John McTernan.
Mm-hmm.
And John McTernan, he's a founder of Defend and Proclaim the Faith Ministries. He spent thousands of hours with Jews and Muslims. He's debated in defense of the Bible. I recently saw him on a debate with an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, so that was pretty exciting. And he's also done a lot of interesting work in the field of biotechnology, kind of what we're looking at is, you know, could the transhumanist movement lead to the mark of the beast, and so he's going to talk about that. So we're very excited to have him with us. It'll really be great.
Well, I look forward to talking to him again. I interviewed him a few years ago about his book "As America Does to Israel." I think that's the title.
Yes, that's right.
And and sadly, there was somebody who sent a comment, a rather negative comment about the book to me by email afterward, and I responded and you know, expressed some understanding of that person's position, and I inadvertently copied John on the email, and you know, it was like, okay, that's one of those moments where you just go, oh, but it was more than that. In truth, what I should have done was contacted John first and said, John, you know, what about this, and given him a chance to respond before I replied the way I did, whether I'd copy John in the email or not. But unfortunately, afterward, in saying, well, John, why don't you come back on the show and I'll, you know, do what I should have done, which was give you the courtesy of asking you directly so you can address the question. But we never were able to get our schedules to sync, so that never happened, unfortunately. That is, you know, in the 5 years that I've been doing View from the Bunker, that is the one do-over that I wish I had, was with John McTernan. So I'm glad that he's going to be on this, because I want to talk to him again about that. But also, I was not aware that he was involved in this biotechnology research, because as you know, transhumanism is something Sharon and I have been doing a lot of research on as well. In fact, we're in the process of writing a book on it. And so I'd like to get his insight.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy him. We also have Daniel Duval up. He's been involved with True News. And he also has bridemovement.com. That's his website. His End Times book is Noah's Ark and the End of Days. And so I think that will be great. Daniel is just he is on fire for God. I love it. I love his passion. And I think he's really going to bring some exciting insights and passion to the conference. We also have Doc Marquis. Of course, you know, is sort of a mainstay at many conferences, just has many years experience researching the Illuminati and the New World Order. And of course, he also had the unfortunate experience of having to live it as a young child.
Right.
He's, you know, thankfully he's been able to come out of that. So praise the Lord for that. And then of course we have your lovely wife. And so, you know, besides Rob and myself, those are the speakers. And so we're excited about what you guys are going to contribute as well. What maybe you want to share something that, you know, is kind of on your guys' heart.
Well, again, we've been doing a lot of research into the transhumanist movement, coming at it from different perspectives. I kind of got interested in it from the standpoint of the technology that surrounds us and within line of sight, in fact, within arm's reach right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different devices that are internet connected and 3 more on the other side of the room. And all of them are sending information to the internet that is winding up somewhere in a database. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to understand how such intrusive surveillance would be useful to a one world government. And any Christian who studied prophecy knows that that is on the horizon. We're moving in that direction. The revelations of Edward Snowden last year kind of brought this home to everybody. It's sort of almost become a joke now. It's like, watch what you're saying. The NSA is listening. Ha 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 ha. But the thing is, it really wasn't even news. That really wasn't even news to anyone who was paying attention. The revelations of the secret room at AT&T's offices in San Francisco came out in 2008. And, you know, I show in my presentations, like, you know, here's the story from USA Today in 2008, showing how that the NSA has been collecting all of this telephone data. And, oh, look, this little internet radio show called PID Radio on that same day in May of 2008 was broadcasting it to the world. It wasn't news. So why is it news suddenly 5 years later in 2013 when it, you know, is broadcast? Yeah, you know, that's a different story. My theory is that we're seeing a turf war between within the intelligence community, but that's a whole nother thing. But it finally dawned on me that while it's important to know the various ways that people can be listening to you, even when your phone is turned off, for example, but as Christians, should that be our primary concern? I mean, there is an element out there, as you guys know, of people who believe that our salvation is in God, guns, and gold, but not necessarily in that order. And so that's... The point is then we should not fear those who can cure the body but not the soul, but the one who can, you know, kill both body and soul in hell, and, you know, meaning, you know, God Almighty. So what do we do with all of this technology then? Started doing some research into big data and realized that the data collection it's burgeoning. It's exploding. The amount of data that we're generating as human beings on planet Earth through all of our digital interactions online, on our cell phones, and just, you know, swiping debit cards at Starbucks, the electronic data trail that we are creating is so massive that that new NSA data center in Bluffdale, Utah, that just opened up last September, supposed to hold like 12 exabytes of data. And I'd never even heard the word exabyte before. An exabyte is 1,000 gigabytes or a 1,000,000 gigabytes, some ridiculous amount of number. It was estimated that all of the data generated by humanity, I mean, since the beginning, is about 5 exabytes worth of data. Okay.
Wow.
So this place can hold 12 exabytes. But here's the thing. In 2015, it is estimated that humanity will create 35 zettabytes of data. What's a zettabyte? Wow. A zettabyte is 1,000 exabytes. So the NSA can hold 12 exabytes of data. And in 2015, we're going to generate 35,000 exabytes of data. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, so do we really need to be worried about them spying on us? Well, there's no question. It's a lot of information. That's like, 12 exabytes. It's like, what do you say? Like 1,000 times the information contained in all of the printed material in the Library of Congress. So that's a lot of information. But we're flooding the world with information. Why is that important? Here, I'm giving away the whole presentation. Anyway, the bottom line is I think it's to build the Matrix. I think it's to train artificial intelligence to either wake up and become sentient or to create a realistic virtual reality, because ultimately the people who believe that transhumanism is our salvation think that we need to upload into the cloud.
You ever seen Caprica?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Caprica.
Exactly. Yeah, the virtual reality game where they all go and they play. Oh. And that's what they want. They want to spend life in virtual
apotheosis.
Reality. Right,
virtual
exactly.
apotheosis.
And there are some very disturbing things about the transhumanist movement that people don't realize, and we'll discuss the links between the transhumanist movement of the 21st century and the eugenics movement of the 20th century.
Wow.
I mean, so they're using some of the same terminology. The same catchphrases are showing up now, less than two generations after Hitler. And Sharon approaches it from a genetic standpoint, where she looks at, because again, her background in molecular biology, genetics was her interest as she studied. Had we not married, she would have gotten a PhD. She started a PhD program at Indiana University and gave it up for an MRS. And I have been thankful.
That's a great degree, by the way.
Well,
MRS.
my father, and I mentioned him in the presentation and compare and contrast my dad with the father of Raymond Kurzweil. My dad, the older he gets, well, he's been gone 9 years now, but somehow he keeps getting smarter for some reason. And one of the smartest things he's ever said to me was, "Son, you married up." So
that's cool. Just to let people know, you have a terabyte, a petabyte, and then an exabyte.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry to derail the train here, but
I know. You have to look it up because, like, what the heck is an exabyte? And they're talking in terms of we've entered the zettabyte area. Forget it. Exabyte is so 2014.
But then there's yodabyte, and then there's zenotabyte. Ooh, it doesn't stop.
Yodabyte.
Yeah,
I know. Watch out for that one. That's a TTA.
The Zenobites, those were the monsters in some bad 1970s horror film, weren't they? So Sharon approaches it from that standpoint, but she's also taking her we've had basically to put her transhumanism book on hold because she's now hard at work on a book about Ebola. She gave a presentation at the Pikes Peak Prophecy Summit that was jaw-dropping, you know. Because I was so busy focusing on mine and trying to get mine ready around my full-time work schedule, I really didn't know what she was bringing to the table. And I thankfully had enough time to sneak into her presentation and watch it. And there were people in there. I mean, pens were flying across notepads and people were typing frantically to take notes. She's done a presentation on Ebola called Thanatos and Therion, The Little Beasts of Genesis 6.
Ooh.
And,
wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
Thanatos being death and Therion being the beast.
Yes. Yes, and she talks about the nature of a virus, which by some definitions technically isn't even alive, and yet how the role that it might play in end times prophecy, the fact that it might be an artificial creation of the fallen at some point in history as a means of carrying out some evil plan that they have to plague humanity. I don't even pretend to understand it. Dad didn't know the half of it when he said I married up. I mean, she's the smartest person I know, the fact that she married me notwithstanding. But that presentation, I believe, is one that she's planning to give. And again, she's working on a book, hard at work on a book right now to try to get that out while, you know, it's top of mind. I mean, here we are, the first week in October of 2014, and to timestamp this, if people listen to this in the archives, we've just been advised that there's a potential second case of Ebola that's been diagnosed at a hospital in the United States. We've been saying for some time that this is just a plane ride away from, breaking out. And in spite of the warnings we keep getting from doctors that this is not not communicable through the air, but only through the contact with bodily fluids. If you go back and read the book The Hot Zone by Douglas Preston, which was written years ago about experiments that were done on rhesus monkeys in Reston, Virginia, there were monkeys that were quarantined and isolated in another part of the building from the infected monkeys, and those monkeys got sick, and researchers who were working with the monkeys in full hazmat gear developed antibodies to Ebola. So, they weren't coming in contact with bodily fluids. It was being transmitted through the air. So,
wow.
That's
amazing.
It's not an efficient means of transport, so not to freak out. It's not like measles or the common cold or anything like that. But it can happen. So Anyway, wow. She takes a look at that and tries to put it in a prophetic context. And it's, again, it's mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, man, that's going to be exciting. I can hardly wait to hear that one. That's going to be really cool. And then lastly, we have Freeman Fly. Rob, why don't you tell us a bit about Freeman Fly?
Yeah. Do you know Freeman, Derek?
I do not.
Yeah. Freeman, he's another researcher out there. He's real big on like corporate logos, Illuminati, Freemasonry, and a lot, frankly, a lot of the same stuff that we talk about. And in the course of my research, when I was doing Babylon Rising, I stumbled across his work. And he's got a pretty sizable audience, I would say, globally. And one day, we had friended on Facebook long ago, but I mean, you know how that is. You got 5,000 friends and you know, like, you know, 10 of them, you know. Yeah. We were friended on Facebook, but never had any interaction with each other. And then one day I signed on Facebook and I saw that he had my Mythology and the Coming Great Deception video posted on his wall and left some very complimentary, remarks. And I was like, wow, like here I am like watching his videos and stuff doing my research. And there he's out there looking at my stuff, you know. And we ended up connecting. And then I had him on my radio show. And then I was on his he's got a Freeman TV, like a Google Hangout show. And, you know, he said this, he says, you know, Rob, what I found really amazing is we're both looking at the same material, looking at the same research and coming to very similar conclusions. But I'm coming at it from a secular scientific worldview and you're coming at it from a biblical worldview. And yet we're coming to the same conclusions. And both of our shows, the one I did with him and the one he did with me, were very successful, and both of our audiences loved it. My audience loved hearing what he had to say, and his audience loved hearing what I had to say. And so, we thought, Doug and I talked about it, we said, you know, what are we about? I mean, we're about a quest for truth, and we're all on a quest for truth. It doesn't matter who you are. And Paul said we look through the glass dimly. You know, that's all of us. None of us have it all together. So I'm looking through the glass and I'm seeing certain details as best as I can. And I'm trying to put pieces together and you're looking at it and through a different angle and coming up with, you know, your conclusions. And so are other people like Freeman. And so we thought, you know what, we're all on a quest for truth. And this is a good opportunity for us to introduce ourselves to his audience and for his, vice versa, to learn from each other. And to, ask questions. And that's what it's all about. So we're real excited about having him on board. And he's excited to be along for the ride as well.
That sounds really interesting. There are a lot of symbols that we see every day that would just sort of roll past us and don't really give any significance to or any thought to. How many of these things are rooted in some form of religious or occultic belief system?
Well, that's a thing. And, you know, he picked up on the Nimrod connection a long time ago. And it's just showing how so many things are in the corporate logos and in New World Order. It's always kind of funneling right back to that. So, he had some really cool stuff to say, and we're excited to have him on board. He has a presentation. I think this – I'm not sure, but I think the one he's going to be doing is called Aliens from Hell. And I've seen it. It's a good presentation. So, you know, I think it'll be a good fit for what we're doing.
And who knows, being exposed to some of the other speakers at the conference, he may come away with a different perspective on things himself.
And so might we.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, because again, we can't say this enough. None of us has it all together, right? And, you know, so, I mean, clearly the Bible is our foundation. We're not going to bail just because we have somebody like Freeman Fly on there. But, you know, the research that he and others are doing, whether they're Christians or not, you know, it's all in a desire to expose and to know and to believe and to follow the truth. I mean, you know, Rob and I have said many times that, you know, we're not committed to a particular doctrine or a dogma. We're committed to what is reality. You know, and look, if you could prove to me beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's nobody called God, there's no Jesus, man, I'm leaving it. Forget it. Right. I mean, if that is true, then what am I wasting my time for? Right. However, if God is true and his word is true, then I think we need to pursue it with all the gusto that we have so that we can, you know, get to the bottom of this. And that's what we want to do and help facilitate that. You know, so, I mean, you know, really this conference, you know, it's for the person who is on a quest for truth, who wants to know, you know, what is the truth. Not that we can give all the truth, but we are going to, you know, we are going to share what we've discovered. All right. And it's to help people to sort through biblical traditions versus man's traditions. Mm-hmm. And so we want to help them decode the end times. There's a lot of different theories out there. Let's go back to the word. I mean, that is our strong foundation, right? So we're going to have a lot of, you know, interesting and exciting topics that are not always, you know, strictly from the word, so to speak, but it's going to be the Bible that will be our foundation that we can build upon. And if ever we say, well, you know, how do we know that? We say, we go back to the word. And if we can't find it in the word, we can say, well, this is interesting. It's, you know, it may be speculation or it may be happening. How it's related to scripture may or may not jive. But that's, again, part of our quest is to say, let's take a look at these things. Let's raise the conversation and always to go back to the word. I don't want anybody to ever think that, you know, we don't care about the Bible. We care about the Bible. We care about it a lot. And that is our foundation for what we're doing here. So, you know, if you're one of those people that you're looking for what is the biblical truth, well, we want to help facilitate that. We don't have all the answers, but we want to help facilitate that at this conference.
You know, I just like to add, Freeman's remarkably versed in the scriptures, actually, probably more so than many Christians that I know. So, you know, but he has a different understanding perhaps of some of it. So, you know, like you said, maybe he can come away with a better understanding perhaps through what we have to say. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that he's able to see and bring to the table that perhaps we can't or don't because we don't have the same life experiences that he has, which from what I understand, a lot of his life experiences are perhaps not all that different from Doc Marquis. Mm. So that should be intriguing.
Yeah, where there are other fellows out there who are in that same category, Peter Lavenda, for example, who is an amazing researcher and very even-handed in his analysis of topics related to the occult, but is still not come around to the truth of the scripture. And while it's tempting to talk with folks like that and adopt the same kind of attitude that, climate alarmists adopt to those of us who are skeptical. You're just a denier, you're just a history denier because, you know, Jesus really did live, die, and rise again. But that doesn't necessarily get you anywhere in terms of presenting a defense for the hope you have in Christ Jesus with gentleness and respect, as we are commanded in Scripture. It's when we start getting a little prickly that we actually become a stumbling block to people accepting the truth of Jesus Christ. And that is something that is difficult because human nature, our nature, is to get combative, perhaps, when somebody challenges our position, our point of view. And I will say this, and maybe this is why the Lord has led me down this path. I mean, I would dearly love to do what I'm doing right now on a daily basis and do this as a you know, full-time vocation. And maybe the Lord will open that door at some point. But it's probably been good for me as somebody who grew up with the genetic disposition to debate. I was really good in high school debate. You know, I was like the guy in that Monty Python sketch that would go into the place, say, I'm here for an argument. And I've had to learn that that's not always a good way to sustain a happy marriage. but it's not always a good way to discuss issues of faith because for some strange reason, people tend to hear when you're disputing with them, especially in a confrontational manner, you may be presenting what you think is a very cogent and logical argument. What they're hearing is everything you know is wrong and you're stupid. And and for some reason, that doesn't work very well. I've been led down a path where I've been in sales as a full-time vocation for the better part of the last 20 years. And one of the words you hear most often in sales is no. So that you learn that, okay, it's not anything personal. It's not because they don't like me. It's not because they think I'm a bad person. Although maybe sometimes that's true, I suppose, but it's mainly because they don't have a need for the product, or they're not, you know, they don't know what they don't need. They don't want what I represent, you know, the company I represent, the product I represent, whatever. It's not me personally, so I can't take it personally. And that's a real challenge sometimes. You know, if somebody is angry at you because of the hope we have in Christ Jesus, it's not personal to me. They're reacting against what he represents. They're in rebellion against him, and I can't get angry about that. If I do get angry, I'm going to drive them further away.
And I think this has really been a lot of mud on our face as Christians, is that we are so quickly to burn one another because there's a difference of opinion on, you know, whether it's the rapture, the second coming, the time of, you know, the millennium, or what, all these things. And each of us, I think, has a pretty strong and passionate perspective on those things. I mean, I recently debated a guy who was a amillennialist, or he would call himself a postmillennialist. And, you know, I think he's completely wrong. And then he was also turns out to be a preterist and such. And I'm just like, you know,
okay.
But I
all right. Yeah, he's right out, Doug. You would have been fine. Just go. OK, go ahead. Declare him anathema. Excommunicate. No, I'm kidding, of course.
I mean, you know, well, maybe he is. But the question is he a brother? You know, and yes, he is. OK. And again, there have been times, and maybe there still are, where I've been a heretic because I have not understood what the scripture was teaching. And so I had a wrong perspective. In fact, I won't get into it now, but there's something that I've kind of changed my mind on. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, thank you everybody for being patient with me, you know. So we want to extend that same thing. So this conference is not going to be just a cookie cutter kind of conference where you're going to get sort of the traditional standard in a box kind of eschatology. And we're going to tell you why, you know, it's all going to happen tomorrow, right? We're not going to do that. We're going to look at the big trend. We're going to look at scripture, of course, really wrestle with what scripture says. And if somebody disagrees with us, okay, we can debate it. You know, we can discuss it. We're going to always remain loving because, you know, if we're not loving our brothers, how can we have anything to tell the world, you know?
Well, I mean, Christ forgave the people who were driving the nails through his wrists and his feet, okay, and who flayed the skin off his back and laid bare his bones. What justification do I have to condemn somebody who maybe calls me a name, you know?
That's
it puts it into perspective when you stop and think about it for a minute.
Yeah. So that's really at the heart of what we want to do. We're excited about it. You know, we're excited that it's going to save people just a ton of money. We're excited about the lineup of speakers we have. We're excited about the format, how this is going to save people time. And then they can go back and they can watch it anytime, and there's no extra charge for that. So we're really excited about the package that people are going to get. We believe that people are going to see, you know, just the tremendous value that they're getting. And, of course, when they register before October 24th, they get over $100 worth of real, you know, work, real resources that we've all created. I mean, the one that I'm giving, and I may give more, just we're still figuring out that exact package. But, you know, it took me 2 years to write the book, you know. So it's not just some, you know, cheap little thing that, oh, here you go. You know, this is the best we have that people will get when they sign up for the conference.
Well, some of those resources, and I know the package hasn't been finalized yet. In fact, I'm not even finalized sure yet on what Sharon and I are giving. I know I sent off a couple of things to Rob today, and I almost feel guilty because, you know, all of the nonfiction stuff, all of the presentation stuff that we've done has been in the form of PowerPoint presentations. We're working on our first nonfiction books now. We've contributed some essays to anthologies, but, you know, those are, you know, we don't own the anthologies to give away the works of other people.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but it can also include MP3s, of course, PowerPoints and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it's going to be a very robust package, and, you know, whatever, you know, we'll talk about this after the show here, but You know, I know you guys have tons of stuff that you can contribute. So, and it's all good quality. So it doesn't have to be a book necessarily. I mean, in fact, I think some people will be happy that it's not a book because they're like, oh, good. I like pictures, you know? So that'll be really good.
Well, the content I've developed that in a reasonable form, because a lot of my PowerPoint presentations are okay, lots of pictures and, you know, scribbled notes that don't make sense to anybody except for me. So I'm not sure that would be really helpful to anybody. but we do have some audio. Hey, Will, there we go. Okay, yeah, just had a thought. Okay, we'll talk more after the program.
Okay.
Audio, I'm thinking, yo, hey, dummy, 10 years of audio archived of various interviews and programs. So that might be worth looking at some of the MP3s we've got in the archives here. So
absolutely.
So yeah. Anyway,
that's what we're all trying to come up with something. I mean, everybody is going to be contributing something that will be worth anything from $5 to perhaps $50 of retail value. Like I've created a couple of timeline charts that if you were to buy them on my website right now, they're $10 a piece and I'm contributing two of them. So that's $20 value right there that I'm giving away to people who register by October 24th, you know. And Doug's book, what's the retail value on your book, Doug?
$20.
So right there, just between Doug and I, we're giving $40 worth of value, and you're going to be contributing stuff. You know, Sharon, everybody else is going to be contributing something. So, like Doug already said, we're hoping that there'll be about $100 at least worth of giveaways for people that if they were to buy it elsewhere, they would cost them $100.
Yeah.
When you go to a conference, you get the conference plus you buy all the books, you buy the DVD, you spend money on the hotel, food,
and then you have to figure out how to try to get the bag full of books onto the plane.
Yeah, and your credit card's maxed out. You're like, oh no. Yeah. So we think this is going to be really just a blessing for people.
Okay, and the website again for people to hit on Monday when registration opens.
TheQ4TConference.com. TheQ4TConference.com.
All right. Fellows, hang on just a minute while we get through the closing stuff here, the closing theme and all. Men behind the Quest for Truth conference, Quest for Truth video series online at questfortruth.net, Doug Hamp and Rob Skiba. Fellows, we'll talk more here in just a minute, but a great idea. We're honored to be a part of it, and we look forward to seeing this all come together.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Derek.
All right. Coming up this weekend, we've got on A View from the Bunker, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. He's talking about The Portent, which is his new novel, the follow-up to The Facade, which has been out for about 9 or 10 years. I've said before, I'll say again, The Facade, the only work of fiction that I keep on my reference shelf, and The Portent is going to go right next to it. We'll talk, we did talk. You'll hear the talk when I post that this Sunday, which, of course, is October the 5th, and in just a couple of weeks, I've got another interview with a gentleman that, not a believer as such, but he's got a really interesting idea about how the Lord God communicated with the prophets of the Bible and perhaps even with prophets today. Is Dr. Rick Strassman, the author of DMT, The Spirit Molecule. He's got a follow-up book that I'm in the process of reading right now, and we will talk as soon as I've digested the book. His thought that DMT, which is a substance the body produces naturally through the pineal gland, may be the mechanism by which God communicated with the prophets of the Bible. So we'll talk with Dr. Strassman. Keep an eye on vftb.net for that going forward. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.